Please turn with me in God's word to the book of Hebrews and to chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12 in the Blue Church Bible. It's on page 1846, page 1846. And I'd like to read from verse 1 down to verse 3. Hebrews chapter 12 from verse 1 to verse 3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, or faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. On Good Friday morning, we were thinking about our Lord Jesus Christ enduring the cross and despising the shame associated with death by crucifixion. How was Jesus able to endure the cross in all its pain and to endure the cross in all of its shame? Well, here we learn it was because of the joy that was set before him. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. In the context, the apostle is saying that our Saviour endured the pain and shame of crucifixion through faith. Because this part of the letter is all about faith, persevering faith through all affliction, through all adversity. Faith in his Father's promise concerning his future joy. And in the flow of this letter from chapter 11 and into chapter 12, Jesus himself is the ultimate example of persevering faith. He lived in this world by faith. He died in this world by faith, in complete dependence upon his Father, trusting in the faithful promises of his God. And Christ is the captain. He is the leader when it comes to faith. Well, if Good Friday is all about sorrow, Easter Sunday is all about joy. Today is a day for rejoicing. As we read a few moments ago, early on the very first Easter morning, the women who loved and followed the Lord, they went to his tomb and they were met by an angel who informed them that Jesus had risen, and that they should go and share this good news with his disciples. Matthew 28, verse 8. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet, clinging to him, and worshipped him. The word translated rejoice in the New King James Bible can be translated in various different ways, but I think that's a good translation. I think it's a little bit more than Jesus simply saying greetings, rejoice. And as I've said many times, every Sunday should be like Easter Sunday, and in many ways, every Sunday is Easter Sunday. because Jesus rose again on the first day of the week. And that's why the early apostolic church did not keep the Jewish Sabbath on the Sabbath, on the Saturday. They gathered on the Sunday as the Lord's Day, the day Jesus rose in triumph from the dead. The early church would set aside certain days in the week for fasting, but never the first day of the week. It's because in the Bible, fasting is associated with sorrow and grief and mourning. And the early Christians believed that that would be inappropriate for the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day is a day of joy and gladness, not fasting, but feasting. As the church gathers together to worship the risen Christ. During his life in this world, our Lord Jesus Christ, as foretold by Isaiah, was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. There are some occasional references to Jesus rejoicing in the Gospels, not many. The general tenor of his life was that of sorrow in this world for all sorts of reasons. And that sorrow reached its climax on the cross. But it has now given way to eternal joy, the joy that was set before him. And it was that promise of future joy that enabled our Lord to endure the cross and to despise the shame. I was struck by the fact that the word joy here in verse 2 is singular, not plural. This joy is one joy. It's not for the joys set before him, but the joy. It's one joy, but it has many parts, and we can break down that one joy into at least four component parts, which gives us our four headings for this morning. The joy that was set before him. That's how the Lord endured the cross and despised the shame. So first of all, the joy of resurrection. The joy of resurrection. When our Lord was hanging on the cross, suffering the pain and the shame of crucifixion, he knew that he would rise from the dead on the third day. He had previously said as much to the disciples a number of times. For example, Mark 8 and verse 31, the Lord began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. The Lord said in the Gospels that no sign would be given to that generation but the sign of the prophet Jonah. 3 days and nights in the heart of the great fish, a wonderful foreshadowing of his resurrection. Now, I don't want to be insensitive to any this morning. It's not my intention to upset anyone or to bring back sad memories or whatever. But imagine slowly dying in great pain. But knowing this, that after 3 days, after you've died, you will be raised from the dead. And you will be raised from the dead with a body completely free of pain and a body which will never, ever die again. And I would suggest that that expectation of resurrection would wonderfully sustain you in your pain as you die. And that's how it was for Jesus. In fact, in one of the Psalms, we can hear the Messiah speak about this expectation, this great hope, this joy of resurrection at the end of Psalm 16. I always quote this these days from the NIV because I think it is just makes things much more simple for us. There's so much confusion on these verses. And the Messiah is saying this, "My heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay." And you'll recall perhaps that the Apostle Peter quoted from that psalm on the day of Pentecost to show that the resurrection of the Messiah was foretold in the Old Testament. We often look upon the resurrection of Jesus as a great source of joy for us, and it is. But sometimes we overlook that the resurrection was a great source of joy for Jesus himself. And it was that joy, the joy of resurrection set before him, that he endured the cross and despised the shame. Oh, how our blessed Saviour rejoices in his own resurrection. Just as we will one day rejoice at our resurrection at his return. Having been raised from the dead, Christ dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. And what a wonderful cause for joy for Jesus and for us who follow him. So the joy of resurrection was set before Jesus. Secondly, the joy of ascension. The joy of ascension. After his resurrection on Easter Sunday, our Lord spent a further 40 days in this world with his disciples, Acts 1 verse 3. And then the risen Christ ascended. He went up to heaven. Now, to understand the joy of ascension, we must realize that Jesus had come from heaven when he was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. What a great mystery we cannot possibly fathom. And our Saviour, especially in the Gospel of John, often spoke about his coming from heaven, and he often spoke about his returning to heaven once his work in this world was done. For example, John 13, verse 3, in the upper room on the night of his betrayal, Jesus knew that he had come from God and was soon going to God. In other words, heaven was his home. And for our sakes, he had left home because we don't have a home, to come into this hostile world. You see, for Jesus, the ascension was his homecoming. And homecoming is always very joyful. For example, think of a soldier who has been sent abroad to fight in a conflict. He's now left home, he's left his family, he's now entered enemy territory. And after 2 or 3 years of bloody conflict, the victory is finally won. And this soldier returns home. Oh, what incredible joy for him. What incredible joy for his family. The victory is won. And now he's coming home. And that's how the risen Jesus ascended. He ascended as the triumphant, all-conquering Saviour of his people. We see something of that triumphant joy in another psalm, often associated with our Lord's ascension, this time Psalm 47. Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. God has gone up with a shout. The Lord, with the sound of a trumpet, sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. So not only the joy of resurrection, but the joy of ascension was set before Jesus. And that joy also enabled him to endure the cross and to despise the shame. I'm going home soon to the Father. Thirdly, the joy of coronation. That's specifically mentioned in our text. There in verse 2, here in Hebrews chapter 12. For the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus endured the cross, he despised the shame because of the joy of his future coronation, his future enthronement at God's right hand. Now, some of us, I'm nearly 60 now, but some of us have had our very first look at long last at a real-time coronation. Last year, when Charles was crowned as our earthly king, we've had to wait, some of us, for a very long time. And we've noted that a coronation is a very triumphant and very joyful occasion. The book of Hebrews has a great deal to tell us about the coronation and enthronement of Jesus, our heavenly king. The book begins with this, there in Hebrews 1, verse 3, when Jesus had by himself purged our sins there on the cross, he has sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Hebrews 2 and verse 9, we see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels, that is, in the incarnation, for the suffering of death, but we now see him crowned with glory and honor. He's crowned. And yet another psalm speaks about the joy of our Messiah's coronation, Psalm 21. The King, the Messianic King, the Anointed King, the Christ, shall have joy in your strength, O Lord, and in your salvation. How greatly shall he rejoice. You've given him his heart's desire. You've not withheld the request of his lips. For you meet him with the blessings of goodness. You set a crown of pure gold upon his head. An unfading crown of eternal glory sits upon our Saviour's brow. It's wonderful to know, isn't it? Our Saviour has exchanged all the sorrows of the cross for the joys of the crown. As we read earlier, all authority, the right to reign in heaven and on earth has been given to him by his Father, Matthew 28, verse 18. The joy of coronation was set before Jesus. There he is on the cross. He's enduring the cross. He's despising the shame. And joy has been set before him. The joy of resurrection, the joy of ascension, the joy of coronation. Fourthly and finally, I will refer to another joy this evening, but The joy of satisfaction. The joy of satisfaction. The pains that Jesus experienced on the cross we will never fathom to all eternity. We may not know. We cannot tell what pains he had to bear. But the Bible sometimes likens those pains to birth pains. Something I've never experienced in myself, thankfully, but only in being present for the birth of our two children. So I have some first-hand knowledge, at least, of those pains. Isaiah 53, verse 11 in the King James Bible, he, the Messiah, shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Now, why do many women choose to travail in birth? Why do they deliberately embrace sharp birth pangs? In some cases, lasting several hours. It's because they are, in fact, giving birth. They're bringing a child into the world. They are willing to endure pain for the future satisfaction, for the joy of holding that newborn baby. And it's exactly the same for Jesus, dear friends, upon the cross. The Lord spoke of this in one of my daily Bible readings this past week, there in John 16, verse 21. The Lord says, a woman in labor has sorrow, but that sorrow is turned to joy at the birth of her child. Dear friends, Jesus is so satisfied, he's so joyful when he sees the blessed fruit of all the pains he endured on the cross. And it's not just when we are born again by the power of the Spirit to become Christ's spiritual offspring. But every blessing, every spiritual blessing which flows from the cross brings such great joy to Jesus. For example, prayer is a blood-bought blessing we enjoy as Christians. There would be no praying, no access to God in prayer, no throne of grace at all without the atoning sacrifice of Jesus to take away our sin. Have you ever thought of it like this? Every time we, God's redeemed children, draw near to our Father in heaven, and we're crying, Abba Father, and we're pouring out our hearts to God, that Jesus is satisfied. He can see it's because of what I endured, all that pain. And now he lives, and now he reigns, and sees the fruit of all his pain. So we can think about Jesus there on the cross, like a mother in labor, sharp pain. But the joy of satisfaction was set before him. The Lord could foresee the blessed fruit of all this pain. For the joy that was set before him then, Jesus endured the cross and despised the shame. The joy of resurrection, the joy of ascension, the joy of coronation, and the joy of satisfaction. One joy, many component parts. And in the context, this is the point, it's the same pattern for us. Because the context is about our need of endurance, persevering faith. The Christian life is not easy in today's world. The followers of Jesus are called to take up the cross daily and to follow him. And there is a certain amount of shame today in being closely associated with Jesus in the eyes of this hostile world. We're not going to be applauded and congratulated by the world for seeking to follow the Saviour. But here's the point, joy has been set before us. And what was true for Jesus himself, our great captain and leader when it comes to faith, is true for all who belong to him and all who faithfully follow him. As the Messiah says to God in another great psalm, in the great resurrection psalm there, in Psalm 16, it's true for him and it's true for us. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. On the cross it was fullness of sorrow, but in your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So, dear friends, whether we are called today to continue to follow Jesus, to go on running the race, whether we're yet to take the first step. Let's keep on keeping on. Looking unto Jesus. Because it was for the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross, despising the shame. And he is now enthroned in eternal glory, and so it will be for all who follow him. Amen.